Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Yes, God. Thank you for this day, this day, this day. Amen. 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 Now, are you glad in it? Are you really glad in it? Are you glad to be here? Tell somebody beside you, I am glad to be here. A lot of things to be glad about. Amen. One of the things I'm going to be glad about today is that I don't know if you've looked toward the Family Life Center or not. Have you? What did you notice? The polls are in. Amen. Praise God. We want to thank Brother Mike Duncan and Brother Billy Smith. They worked hard. They really did. They worked in 100-degree weather. Now, high 90s and 100-degree weather, they got it finished. And so if any other car wants to bump out of gear or whatever and roll down the hill and it can get as fast as it wants, but it's not going in the playground. Not going to do it. The engine may be in the console, but really after that happened, we just really felt like, first time it's ever happened. We didn't think it would ever happen. But when it did, we realized, that's a possibility. If it happened once, it can happen again. So we took proaction and decided we would prevent that from happening in the future. And not only that, they look good. They really do. They look good. They don't look uninviting. It still looks inviting down there. But I just want to thank those guys for their hard work. And they sweated a lot, lost a lot of weight. But thank you, Mike, and thank you, Billy.
And now they're in kids' church now.
Yeah. And what?
They worked all week, now they're in kids' church.
And now, they worked all week, and they're in kids' church serving.
So,
yeah, they're doing good, aren't they? It's awesome. It's really awesome. I'm going to talk to you today a little bit about living the life of an overcomer. I tell you, we live in a day and a time that the enemy is he's not holding back. he's more fierce than he's ever been. He's madder than he ain't more angry than he's ever been. Because the Bible says, when he realizes his time is short, that his wrath will increase. So he's increased his wrath, and you know who it's against. And he wants to get at God, but he can't. But now he wants to get at God's kids. And we need to sort of realign and refocus on being an overcomer. In Revelation, it talks about all the churches that you're doing this good, but this is what I'm have against you. This is what you need to work on. And then it said, he who overcomes. See, we're overcomers. And all the songs today were just lining up everything, and Charlie and I don't talk about it, but when it talks about the battle belongs to the Lord, how many of you know the battle does belong to the Lord? But here is the stickler. How does he fight? I'm going to tell you how he fights. He uses you and I as instruments of righteousness. The Bible says that we are instruments of righteousness. And he lives in us and lives through us, but the battle belongs to him. He's just looking for people that he can put on display his victory that he already has. And that's us. Or that's us-ins. That's us-ins. I told a couple of kids a long time ago, they was running up the steps, and I said, where are you-ins going? And one of them turned around, he said, us-ins is going upstairs. So the Southern just came out just natural for us, but it really did. But I'm going to talk to you about living the life of an overcomer. You are an overcomer, but we may not be living in an overcoming way. There is a battle between light and darkness. There are two kingdoms. There's two kingdoms. There's a kingdom of light and kingdom of darkness. They're both are real. One's not fake. One's an imaginary. They're not imaginary. They're real. And the realities of them are real. The kingdoms are real. It is a kingdom of darkness that has demons and all that stuff in it. And then there's a kingdom of God that has the angels of God, the power of God, Jesus, and all of us. And we're in a battle. We really are. You know, we're not. You know, we often think that the battle belongs to Him, and we just sit and wait. No, we're used of Him. You know, we do abide in Him and we rest in Him, but we're being used of Him because we're an instrument of righteousness. And so we can't forget that. But we have to be mindful of the schemes. The Bible says that we should not be ignorant. We're not ignorant of the schemes of the enemy. And if we are ignorant, it's because we haven't been studious enough to be able to find out what the schemes are. And we can't just relax, pull back. Once we get saved, we can't relax, pull back, say, okay, that's all I've got to do, and I just wait on the bus to come by and take me on to heaven. Well, no, that's not the reality of God's kingdom. The reality of God's kingdom is to save you and I, to bring you and I to a new birth so He can use us to take action for Him and in Him and with Him. So we need to understand that the enemy works against us on purpose. To turn somebody, he said, he's against you on purpose. Now, the enemy, he's against you on purpose. He's against you individually, and he's against us corporately. He's against this nation, right? He's against anything that looks anything like God, like Jesus, and he's against it. Over in 1 John, I want you to go there. We need to be able to not to be afraid when we see things happen. How many of you see something happen and it's real bad, and all of a sudden a fear sort of wants to come in and sort of, wow, take us and overtake us? You know, so that happens to all of us. But I'm really asking that something unexpected happens today through the message that he's speaking to us about, that we will leave here more a conqueror and more a warrior than we are someone who is inactive. And I think it's what he's waiting on. He's waiting on his people to stand up. He's waiting on his people to rise up. He's waiting on his people to move in him. Over in 1 John 5, it says this. Verse 3. 1 John 5, verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. I'm going to pause just for a moment, and I want to talk to you. We're just sort of setting the stage today, doing an introduction today. There'll be more series on it. but this thing about keep, I've always thought and believed that word keep meant to obey. But when you look at that word keep, and it does mean to observe, but that's it, that's sort of at the end of the definition. That word keep means to watch over, to preserve. You hear what I'm saying? To keep safe, to keep the work, his commandments of God in a place that it's not looked down upon. It means to protect. It means to be a warden over. It means to bring to the front. See, to keep the commandments of God, if we love God, does not mean just to observe. In other words, to do them. We fail in the fullness of that word if that's all we think we're supposed to do with it. But he said, keep them. He said, keep my word. Watch over my word and make sure it stays at the forefront. Make sure it's watched over. Make sure it's protected. Make sure it's guarded. In other words, when you hear somebody that's saying something that's not the word of God, what should we do? We should protect it enough. It's not the fact we'll obey what the word says. That's great. But that's not the fullness of this word. The fullness of the word is if we really love God, we'll keep his commandment to the front, to the forefront. We'll guard it, and we'll protect it, and we'll watch over it. We'll help preserve it. You know, so when somebody's giving you something that's not the word of God, we say, oh, that's really not what the word says. Here's what the word says. You understand what I'm saying? That's not right, because we can misalign with God just because we heard a misinterpretation or a misquotation or something about God's word, and we need to preserve that as we observe it. Does that make sense? So that's part of us loving God. Part of our loving God is, yeah, but see, it's not just, okay, just do what God says and that's all you got to do. That's not what he's saying. The observation helps us when we know what the word of God is and what the commandments are, and we keep them. And by the way, it also means to declare them, to proclaim them. So somebody, I'll tell you what, somebody declare a word from God right now. Somebody just stand up and declare a word from God. Anybody?
I declare
and decree no weapon formed against me will prosper. Woo! So that's a declaration from God. See, now we can say, okay, that's good. Well, it's more than good. Because I got news for you. There's an enemy fashioning weapons against you. He's doing schemes right now just against you. And against your family, and against this house, against your community, against your state, against the United States, against the world. He's a schemer, he wants to do all that. So he said, but that's the thing about keeping his commandments, and bring to the front. Always bring the word of God to the front, and if we'll do that part, it'll be easy for us to obey it. How many of you have ever obeyed, but you was really rebelling the whole time you was obeying? Is anybody going to be real enough with me? Say, I'm obeying it, but on the inside, I'm really not in this. I'm having to do it. In other words, it's out of something that I'm actually doing out of duty and not desire. Okay, let me move on. Then it says in verse 4, and whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. See, being an overcomer, you overcome whatever's in the world. That is big. Everybody say, that's a big deal. Whoever is born of God is an overcomer of the world. So no matter what we face, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what the details are, no matter what the situation is, he said, he who is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. And what is it?
Our faith.
Our faith. Say our faith. Our faith is the victory that overcomes the world. We will not be overcomers without faith, without trust in our God. We have to lean in, press in, and lean upon him and what he says. And by the way, has he ever lied?
No.
Can he lie?
No.
Is it impossible for him to lie?
Yes.
Okay, that's who you're serving. That's who we have. You know, when you look at this battle's rigged. He can't lose. Okay. We can't lose. And then he goes on and said, and who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So who is it that overcomes the world? It's the people that believe it. And see, this word believe does not mean, oh, I think he is. Well, I say he is, but I really don't live like he is. And see, this is what God's after. This is the unexpected thing for me that God's after today. To see overcoming and us being overcomers in a totally different view than we've ever seen it before. And when we do, and that revelation begins to capture us, that application will begin to be lived out. Because you shall know, you shall become one with the truth. And when that happens, it's not knowing here, it's becoming one with. You shall know, become one with the truth, and the truth will make you free. But we mishandle and we don't value or don't love the truth. And because of that, we do not walk in the fullness of our freedom. Are y'all with me so far? So it goes on. He says, okay, he who overcomes the world is he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Romans 12:21 says, do not be overcome by evil. Evil's intention is to overtake you and I. Evil's intention, the intention of the enemy, is to overtake us. He said, do not be overcome by evil, but what? Overcome evil with good. We talked about he's good. We sang about he's so good. He's good. Is he good?
Yes.
He's always good. So in his goodness, he imparts to us his spirit, and we have his goodness in us. We have his kindness in us. We have his mercy. We have his love. We have his long. We have his. Everybody say the word patience. Say we have that in us, but we might not be walking in it at certain times of the day. But see, an overcomer understands that whatever it is that's attacking the very fruit that's inside us, when we begin to see what the battle, our instruments, who we are, when we begin to see how to align with God, his victory is already there for us to enter into. And we don't battle from a position of gaining victory. We battle from a position of victory that he's already won for us, but we're going to live it out, walk it out, talk it out, and demonstrate it. The world is looking for victors. This world's in a mess. How many of you believe this world is in chaos? This world is in a mess. It truly, truly is. You know, and the Bible actually says that the whole creation is groaning. Groaning. I mean, think about creation, grass and trees and plants and all of creation, mountains. Think of all of creation groaning. Groaning. Why is it groaning? To see the manifestation of the sons, not children, of the sons of God. Creation has a groan about it. This whole earth is groaning to see me, you and I grow up and become sons and daughters and not little children. Yeah, and to reflect his character, reflect who he is. The word weos, the sons of God, it means the mature ones. Creation is waiting and groaning, actually pulling, his create is actually pulling for us to grow up, become mature.
Yes.
Which means somewhere along the line we have to kick the bottle. We have to kick the pacifier. We have to kick off the training wheels. You know what I'm saying? You got to get rid of the training wheels. Are you hearing me? Why? Because that's a reflection of how small we are. No, I know our significance next to God is nothing, but he has made us everything that he is. He's in the process of growing us up to become more like him. The day we stop growing is the day that we level off. That's what the Pharisees did. They went so far and they leveled off. And that's what Jesus had against them. He said, no. He said, you got to a certain place and you just leveled off. And those that are hurting, you won't even help them. As a matter of fact, you'll put heavy loads on them to show them that they're real weak and you're not. Because you've made it more difficult for them. See, that's not the life of an overcomer. On John 10:10, y'all know this verse, John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And these are red letters. He said, I come that you might have life and have it abundantly. So he's letting us know that all the enemy wants to do is take from you, steal, kill, and destroy you. That's all he wants. No matter what he says, no matter what he does, no matter what he appears like, you know, he can appear like an angel of light. Doesn't mean he's one, because he's not one. So our overcoming has to be more in line with who God is. And he says, not only that, he says, Jesus, but see, for a long time, I understood God gave me life, that Jesus gave me life. But for a long time in my Christian life, I struggled because I wasn't living the abundant life. And there was a reason for that. See, not only do we have two worlds and world of darkness, a kingdom of darkness, kingdom of light, and you have a God of darkness and you have the God of the kingdom. One's a little g, one's a big G. See the thing we need to understand is that a life comes by a gift. That I received his gift and I get born, I'm born again and I have life. I'm taken out of darkness and I'm placed in the kingdom of light, of his marvelous light. You know, but my abundant living depends on how much I have made him Lord. That's the kicker. See, we want him as Savior, but the rest of it is us making him Lord. He's already Lord, but just have I made him my Savior? Yeah. Well, have I made him my Lord? Not so much. Or maybe as full as we can. I mean, I don't know. I'm not saying that about any of us. I'm saying the Lordship of God, of Jesus, is what brings abundant living. 1 Peter 5, watch this. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. But he said, you need to be sober in spirit. You need to be clear. This thing is about clear-minded. You need to be clear-minded. You don't need any influences other than the clarity of your mind when you see. You need to be clear-minded, and you need to be on the alert. If you're not clear-minded, you won't be on the alert. He said, be sober in spirit and be on the alert. Then he says this, your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But resist him, firm in your faith. Resist him, firm in your faith. I want you to understand something. This, you know, we read that a lot of times, and all of a sudden it's like, yeah, he's a devil. Yeah, I see that. I hear that. But see, sometimes we don't know the depth of what this verse means unless we actually dig in deeper and say, God, what are you saying? We did something on Wednesday night this past week. We've been talking about, or started a conversation about sins, transgression, trespassing, and iniquity. And we're doing a study on that to understand and what that's going to give us. Well, no, aren't you just focusing in on what the enemy does and gives us? No, it's all in the Bible. We're focusing on the Bible. Unless we know the difference of all of those, we won't know the depth of our salvation. See, the depth of our salvation belongs to him because he went to the depth that he could possibly go to take care of everything about darkness for us. And we're discovering in this thing. But anyway, we read out of a psalm, and it had a few verses, and then it would say Selah. Then it had a few more verses, and then it would say Selah. And then a few more verses, and it would say Selah. And that word Selah means what, Eric?
Think about it.
Pause for a moment. Think about what you just read. Meditate about it. Reread it. And think a little deeper about what you just read. See, every psalm is a song. So he's telling us when you see the word Selah, it means, hey, you need to slow down. Don't rush on ahead. Think about it. So I would put a, you know, this is not a psalm, but I would put a Selah beside this thing that the devil's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. I'd say Selah. I'd say, you need to pause for a moment and think about this. What does that really mean? Because it will impact on whether we're going to be a victor, whether we're going to be victorious in our living, or we're going to live somewhat of a defeated life, even though we are children of the King. So here we go. He tells us who he is. He tells us what he is. He's an adversary. Who he is. He's the devil. Tells us what he does. He prowls. He tells us how he does it. Roaring, like a roaring lion. And he tells us what he wants. He wants to devour. So in that, he describes a deeper detail than just what's on the surface. So when you begin to look at, so if we're going to not be ignorant of his devices, wouldn't it help us to understand more about this verse or more about other verses when it comes to what God really wants to get deep inside us? So what is it? The adversary. It's called a vicious opponent. He's just not, well, I'm against you. No, he is viciously opposing you. He's on purpose opposing you. He is on purpose your opponent. He's trying to stop everything that you do to progress in the kingdom. Everything that you do, he's trying to stop you from doing that. Then he says he's a devil. What does that mean? It means he's a, that word devil means slanderer, accuser. You know what slander is? Telling the truth about somebody with an intention to hurt them. Yeah, he makes accusations, and a lot of times his accusation about me is true. Do you hear what I'm saying? But he's a slanderer, and what he's wanting to do, he's wanting me to believe the accusation to hurt me. Are y'all getting this? So he's a slanderer. So anytime we tell the truth about somebody without a redemptive heart, without redemption in the reason we're saying it, we become a slanderer because what we're doing, we're hurting them. But I told the truth. Yeah, but you told the truth with an intention to hurt. Y'all get it? Yeah. So you know, we have to watch out how we talk, how we say. So, well, it's the truth. Well, it might be the truth, but there's no love. Speak the truth in love. See, love is the envelope that you pull the truth out of. So if you don't have the envelope, keep silent. If you don't have the envelope of love, but you know it's the truth, just keep silent. Because he says, speak the truth, but you do it with love. Are y'all hear me? Well, now I'm going to tell the truth. Well, yeah, fine. I want you to tell the truth, but you need to tell the truth in love. Does that matter? Matters to him. That's the reason he gave us those instructions. But we can get so prideful because we know the truth, and we just won't want to tell the truth, but yet we're just hurting people. See, it's one thing to beat the people with truth than to feed them the truth. I heard a pastor once say a long time ago, I said, well, this Sunday I'm going to have to beat the sheep in the line. Well, no, they ain't your sheep to begin with. And you best not beat none of them. Because the club of a shepherd is for the enemy. The staff is for the sheep. Tap them along and got a hook in it to rescue them when they're hurting. The club's not used on sheep. The club's used for the enemy. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. How does a rod comfort me? That he ain't going to let me get beat up. He going to do the beating. And it ain't going to be me that he's beating. God is not mad at you. We sang, it was one verse in that song that said, even in all my weaknesses and all my failures and all my fallings or whatever, the word, he said, he still loves me and calls me friend. Woo! That's pretty good. How many of you are a friend of God? He said, I don't any longer call you servants. I call you friends. A friend of God. All right, let's go on. He said, devil's slander. He said he prowls. He walks about. That word prowl means to be occupied with. He's occupied with you. Doesn't mean he's doing it personally. But he's got demons and everything. He's got dark. He's occupied. He's occupied with you. Why? He wants to make sure that you don't succeed in your walk with God. He can't take your salvation. It ain't up for the taking. But if he can hinder your progress, he feels like he's doing his job. If he can keep you from growing up, he's doing his job, he feels like. The whole time, God's wanting us to grow up. God wants us to overcome these things that have been hindering us. By the way, over in Thessalonians, he's called a hindering spirit. He is a hindrance. That we're hindering. He wants us to have delays, setbacks, and all this stuff. Just, how many of you know God has a timeline? And it's His timeline. See, that's the reason we can become overcomers, because we want to operate on God's timeline. He prowls, walks around, prowls like. Let me say this, and this is what I felt like the Lord spoke to me. He said, I'm telling you that he is a lion, but I am the lion. He's like a lion. He's really, you know, he just pretends to be. And he's doing all this roaring. Anybody got a good lion roar? There you go. Third one. A good lion roar. You know, but see, the enemy roars. And this thing about roaring, I've not got past point one of my introduction. This thing about roaring, it's an intimidating sound. And listen to this. It's the only time this is mentioned in the Bible. Lions roar in the Bible, but this is the only time this word is used, roaring. You know why? It's in the middle voice in the Greek. Does that matter? Yeah, it matters. Why does that matter? Because that's the only roar he's got. It's the one that he produces. The middle voice means you produce it out of your own self. You do the initiating. So he initiates the roar, and in the middle voice, it means that he has perjured himself. Does that mean anything to you? In other words, he's trying to make you believe that he's telling you the truth, so help me God. In court, so help me God. But when you do that and you swear, you make an oath to tell the truth, and you don't tell the truth, you perjured yourself. In other words, what happens is it's being exposed that you just lied. God wants us to understand, whenever he roars, he's lying. He's a lion. He's lying. He comes like he knows everything and got everything going on and knows what you are, knows how you are and everything, but he's lying. Roaring, trying to get your attention on him. And if there's anything you need to get out of today, anything, we do not do battle on the enemy's terms. We do battle on Jesus' terms. Not his. So here we are. So he tries to intimidate with his own lion. That's part of it. The Bible said he's a father of lies. Not only is he a lie, he's a father of it. He fathers every lie that's produced. He's the father of it. He's the accuser. He's a slanderer. He's a deceiver. He's a liar. He's a father of lies. He's prince of the air. He's a tempter. He's a destroyer. He's an adversary. He's antichrist. He's serpent, and he's a dragon. He started out in Genesis as a serpent. He ended up in Revelation as a dragon. Somebody fed him. Really, but listen. You know what he feeds? Listen to this. This will make a whole lot. You know what he feeds on? The Bible says he feeds on flesh. So the reason he's like a dragon is because we have fed him with our flesh. And he's gotten bigger. Anytime we start operating in the flesh, we're feeding him to get bigger. This is all preparing us to become overcomers. Y'all with me? Preparing us to be overcomers. I've got so much to say, but I don't have, I'm sort of out of time. I'll share this story and then I'll end. You remember, God delivered Israel from Egypt. He got them out of slavery. That looks like our salvation. He got us out of slavery and caused us to be free people. He caused them to be free people. And the gift that he was giving them, he's already given them the gift of freedom, but the gift he was taking them to was the gift of the promised land. But guess what was in the promised land? Giants. Big people. Huge people. Huge fruit. Big, the largest of it. And so Moses sent out the 12 spies, and y'all know the story. And Joshua and Caleb, when they came back, let me read this to you. Caleb quieted the people because they already told him, said, the fruit is but there. The fruit's good. The land is good. But there are large people over there. They're too big. They're huge. Now, Joshua and Caleb's not saying that. But the rest of the 10 were. I want you to listen to this. But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, we should all, by all means, go up and take possession. This is Caleb. We need to go and take possession. By all means. For we shall surely overcome it. We shall surely overcome it. Why is he so convinced? Why is Caleb so convinced? God's already said, it's yours. It's yours. Go get it. Go take it. But there's some resistance along the way. He said, we shall surely overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for us. Now, what is it? They're rehearsing. They're fighting the battle the way the enemy wants them to fight it. They're fighting it on the enemy's terms. They're too big. They're too big. We'll never be able to do that. They're just way too big. So we're now proclaiming, we're not keeping the word of God. We're not guarding the word of God. What we're doing is we're pronouncing what the enemy's saying. Y'all getting this? Okay, all right. So we are not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for us. So they gave out to the sons of Israel, the 10 gave out to the sons of Israel, a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone in spying it out is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of giant size. They're huge. They're big. We'll never be able to take it. We'll never be able to overcome it. We won't be overcomers. We'll be devoured. That's the voice of the enemy. That's the prowler. That's the one that he said, you make these declarations. Don't make the declarations of God. Make the declarations. This is too big. Listen, here's the best thing about it. When you see something that you're facing that is too big, and it is real big, and it is real huge, and it's large. Has anybody ever been there? Okay. I mean, it is so huge. Get happy about it. You know why? Because if the enemy is that big, how much bigger is God going to be? How much bigger is God going to show? It's all perspective. So he goes on and says this. Okay, so there's giants. And then they say this. We have become like grasshoppers in our own sight. They saw themselves as itty-bitty against great big giants. That's how they saw themselves. And this is what they spoke. We saw ourselves this way. They didn't see overcomers. They saw, well, yeah, we're going to be crushed. And then he said, and so we were in their sight. I'd like to know, how do they know that? How do they know that in the sight of the enemy, that they in their mind looked at them like grasshoppers? How did they know that? Do you think one of them went up to, hey, Mr. Giant? I'm just a little grasshopper. What's your thought about us? I didn't ask anybody. They're trembling too much. You know, so one is saying the voice of the enemy. One is in agreement with the size of what it is. But see, our voice, Caleb had the voice of a warrior. Caleb had a voice that saw the perspective. He said, oh, that song we sang, you see the mountain. Oh, we see a mountain. You see a mountain moved. We see death, but you see the empty tomb. We see this, but you see that. We've got to start agreeing with what he sees if we're going to be an overcomer. Isn't that true?
Yes.
Amen. All right. There's a lot more to this that's forthcoming. Invite somebody to come with you next week, and we'll get more into it. But maybe somebody here, you're doubting your salvation. You're doubting what's inside you. You're doubting, I'm not really sure that I'm born. I'm not really sure. I've been going to church for all my life. I've been doing this, but I'm not really sure that I've been changed on the inside. And I want to clear that up today. Anybody want to do that? I want to clear it up today. I want to clear it up today. I want to say yes to Jesus. Anybody? All right. We're all brothers and sisters. Amen. Let's stand to our feet and let's make a declaration. You find the declaration that you want to make about your God and agree with him. See, this thing, and we'll talk more about it next week. We'll talk more about the thing about the Lordship of Jesus. What does that look like? What does that look like? And before we start a battle, what's some of the first things that we do? And we're going to be talking about that next week. All right, look at somebody and say, you're about to get bigger. Amen. You're about to get bigger. That's true. You're about to get bigger. Okay. Now, don't forget, you know, come on out at 4:30 today and then join in the festivities. And you don't have to get slimed or walk through the foam or even get powdered color on you. I don't know what that's all about. But anyway. My heartbeat today with the message I really believe that God has given is for us to gather in the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of revelation, which Paul talks about. He said, I pray that you get the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation according to the knowledge of Jesus. Is for us to walk away from these meetings that we're having together with a greater understanding of how we are to live victoriously in the midst of some of the worst things that we'll face. And if we can do that, we will help the groaning creation begin to see children grow up, God's children growing up to become the sons and daughters, making the difference, being a game changer in the society in which we live. I want to be a game changer. You know, love God, love people, make a difference. I want to make a difference. I want to make a difference in this community. I want to make a difference in your life. I want to make a difference in everybody that I come in contact. I want to make that difference. But I know I've got to rally up. I've got to get stronger in him, in his strength and the power of his might.
Amen.
And to become everything that he said for me to be and for you to become everything that he wants you to be. Amen? And that's where we're headed. You want to go?
Yes.
All right, God bless you. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for your power. We thank you, God, for your presence. And Lord, we humbly submit to your word. And Lord, we want you to do your work in us to the fullness, Lord, that we may operate in the fullness of Jesus in all that we do, all that we say, and everything that we speak. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. See y'all around 4:30. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.